So Tufnan Aleph Sif Tes. So there are, as I think we've discussed in the past, there are different reasons. There's different svaros as to why Hagala works. Right? So some of them have to do with the tam is lefgam, that you should wait 24 hours. Others is that well, it's batul b'shishim. Others is that, well, it's not bar nat and it's mutter anyways, so it's okay. So what happens, it's not bar nat, so then it goes out, it comes back in, etc. So that's what we call when it's with the tam heter. However, once the permissible taste, once you've already entered into the zman isser of Pesach, so then you got a problem. So Hagalah, so as soon as the zman isser achila comes in, the halachos of Hagalah's kelim become much more strict. So at that point, we require that if we waiting 24 hours, and that it you can try to get a big pop, but really it's the 24-hour rule. But that's only once you've gotten to the fifth hour. So Shulchan Aruch suggests, Hamagil kodem shahe yachol hagil b'yachak l'rishon v'klisheni, that when you do Hagalah, for the fifth hour, you could do Hagalah together, a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni, the Kelim Shebalu Davar Mu'at, and Kelim that absorbed very little. For Ein Choshesh, and one does not have to be concerned. What is he talking about? So one of the reasons given that Tosfos is that you're not concerned that the pots are going to absorb once they spit out, because they don't happen at the same time. It spits out, and once it's done spitting out, so then it begins absorbing. So Tosfos kind of says, okay, how do we know when that magical time is? And Tosfos kind of shrugs his shoulders and says, we don't really know. But therefore, you shouldn't really leave it in the pot for too long, because if it's in too long, it's going to start absorbing again. So Shulchan Aruch says, aha, interesting. So what if you have different pots that have different amount absorbed in them? So if whatever time you leave them in, the proportions are going to be off. Mm-hmm. So he says that if you're going to do two pots together that have different amounts in them, so then you shouldn't do that after the fifth hour in Erev Pesach. Because mm-hmm. once that has become, so then it becomes Man Isser, we're limited into the amount of Svaros we have to allow Hagalas Kalim, and so therefore we avoid that on Erev Pesach. It's generally, the practice is not to do it.
Also B'mashahu, so I thought that's the issue. After the fifth hour,
Not necessarily. Because when we say Hagalah, we say we're really doing it. We're really doing Hagalah. But the Svaros have kind of begun to fall away, and because the Svaros have begun to fall away, our general minhag is not to do a Hagalah on Erev Pesach at all. But if you need to, or sometimes you might even have to do Hagalah on Pesach itself. So there are some additional chumras that one.
So the Svaros are falling away. Why?
Because it's no longer first of all, you have the mashu, because it's isurabala. It's as opposed to what we've said heterabala, that mm-hmm. it's permissible, or right. That's a machlokas about that. But one can in theory rely on the idea that it's mutter and then becoming us, etc. Now it's straight isur, and okay. We have some problems then. Okay, so that is ches. Oh, b'chein kli etzim tzrichim magala. Okay, if he adds in, the Ramah adds in. It seems like it might be misplaced here, but kli etzim, a bone kli, would require Hagalah. It seems somewhat misplaced. That probably is.
I don't even have it in my version.
Really?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the preview. I was looking at Ches. You're right. Yeah. It's not mine either. Right? It's at the end of Ches. Gam kein im magil miksas hakli shnei panim. So too, if you do Hagalah for a part of the kli twice, right? So you have the same problem, because if you're dipping it in twice, so then we assume that it's come out, and whatever's out has come in, you know, has mm-hmm. exited. One minute here. Okay, a few minutes. Sure. Fine. So that deals with tests. Good. Okay, Salim. So this is very interesting, because it's not so much for the Pesach aspect, but for the standard Hagalas Kelim aspect. Salim, Shemolchin Behem Habasar. This is like the baskets, but the baskets probably have holes in the bottom in which you salt meat. So when you salt meat, you have a similar issue, that you are salting meat, right? In theory, you're taking all the blood out. And how are you getting all the blood out? Well, it's the same process. The salt creates heat. Or halacha considers the salt as creating heat. It actually does create heat, and that's what draws the salt out. So then you have a problem, the blood out. Right, so what about if you then leave it there? So just as the blood comes out, the blood should be able to go back in. Right, so there Gemara then has a discussion. So Gemara suggests, in order to avoid that, so we should have a hole at the bottom of the thing in order to drain all the blood out. So that's one sugya. There's another sugya with regards to salting meat, and that is that's the discussion in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a question. Okay, would that then cause? So could you use the kli again? Can you use the kli a second time? All right. So that becomes a machlokas rishon, and it suggests that you. It suggests that you could. So the question is, okay, what
is the kli then treif because from the blood?
So is the kli treif? So the kli could absorb blood. So the question is, so now the idea that the kli could absorb blood, is that talking about a kli that has a hole in the bottom or a kli that doesn't have a hole in the bottom? And that is then left subject to a machlokas, poskim, etc. We try to get all the... Right, so we I'm forgetting the.
So the butcher mm-hmm. or the place nowadays, the butcher or the grocery store, they do the salting for you.
Right, so we don't have to worry about this.
So, but anyway, but the utensil upon which that salting occurs.
Right, so could you reuse the kli?
But they don't have to use it. It would be prohibitive to provide a new kli every time they have
it. Unless you use aluminum foil or something.
Oh, really?
So what's our heter to allow it to be reused? So we assume that the kli could become iser. However, our heter to allow it to be reused is that the meat is in there salting and everything is going out, and we assume that as the stuff is going out of the meat, it's not going to be absorbing anything into the meat. That's what we assume. Even a kli with a hole in the bottom, we assume becomes treif, so to speak. But we're allowed to continue to use it for the purpose of salting, because while the meat is salting, it's not going to absorb anything from the kli. That's the kula. So Pesach then brings in, so that discussion is really in Hilchos Melicha, the Hilchos of salting. But our discussion here is a specific Pesach discussion, is that maybe you should require Hagala in order to use it for Pesach. I mean, that kli that you use the rest of the year, are you allowed to just use that kli for Pesach as well as for Pesach? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Salam Shemolch Mehem Habasar, Yish Matzrich Lehem Hagala. There are those that require Hagala. Why would you require Hagala? What's the difference between Pesach and the rest of the year? So the Mishnah Berurah in Nunta says, Kiven Te'enu Nizar Kol Hashana B'melach Michametz, because the salt that you use the rest of the year might actually have chametz in it. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Shema Hayasham Ma'at Chametz, V'kibil HaKli Tam Ma'at, V'chozer V'nosin Tam B'Pesach. And the Kli may have absorbed some of that chametz, and that could actually get back into the meat on Pesach. And that could actually be a problem. So why do we require... So we say those... Kalim, so we sometimes ask the question, can you just buy meat the rest of the year? Is there an issue of meat the rest of the year towards Pesach? This Shulchan Aruch seems to be raising an issue. Yeah, the meat that you use the rest of the year, maybe it is a problem. Maybe you do require some kind of hagala in order to get, in order to use that stuff for Pesach. He says, He says, there are those that disagree, and I see why. Because we're not going to impose an Isser on such a thing that we don't really have a reason to assume that there would be an Isser. What does the Ramah say? Betov l'hagilan o liknos chadashim. Better is to do hagala or to buy new ones. Says the Mishnah Berurah, how should you do hagala?
This is all,
that's the Mishnah Berurah in the first one, Samach Aleph.
Okay.
Right, Tov Lagin, how do you need to do the Haggalah? So he says, not that you have to do full Haggalah, Ayde Iroi. Right, doing it Ayde Iroi is sufficient. Right, Mikli Rishon, Mi'iroi Mikli Rishon, meaning pouring from a Kli Rishon is sufficient, you don't have to do the full Haggalah. Of course, how could the Chametz really have gotten there anyways? So that's Samach Aleph. Samach Beis, he says, O Liknos Chadashim, Perish Im Iyevshar Lahagilan, Lefishi Yesh Behen Gumos. If it's impossible to do Hagalah, so then you should do it this way because of the Gumos that are in the the pan that you're using. I mean, the Shulchan, it's an interesting Mishnah Berurah, because the Shulchan Aruch says either you should do Hagalah or you should do or you should buy new ones. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, well, yeah, you should only buy new ones though if there's a reason you can't do Hagalah. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be recommending Hagalah over buying new ones. It's only buy new ones if you can't possibly do Hagalah. So that's interesting. There's a few. I noticed that in my Mishnah Berurah doesn't usually seem to be have any concern for Mishnah Berurah is a very dry, like antisocial book, so to speak, like not really looking into sociology. But I've noticed this is actually the second example in Hilchos Pesach where he specifically makes this. One can make a case that this is a monetary recommendation, right? Uh-huh. Because the Gemara itself raises the issue of a certain kli. And asks an Amora, how do you get these kelim for Pesach? And the Amora says, oh, me, I buy new ones. He says, okay, well, you're very rich. What are the rest of us supposed to do? Oh, well, the rest of you could do Hagalah in the following way. Right, that's the Gemara with the knife, with the handle. I think we came across that Gemara. So the Gemara already seems to imply that buying new kelim for Pesach is a good idea. Right, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be knocking it down. Why? Because he was very poor. So the Mishnah Berurah also in... In Hilchos Pesach, when it comes to the Dalet Kosos, when he talks about what the amount is, if you have a really big cup, and the Mishnah Berurah says that two spots there actually, he makes a comment that as long as if you're drinking Rov Kos, he's even though Shulchan Aruch says that's ideal, Mishnah Berurah kind of like puts the brakes on a little bit, says no, well, you know, we don't necessarily have to drink the entire thing, and when he talks about the size of the Kos, he makes a point of saying so people should make sure to have small cups because. Of all the expensive wine, so you don't want to have, you don't want. So there's a couple examples surrounding Pesach. I don't know how that works proportionally to the rest of the Mishnah Berurah, but that's an interesting point there. Okay, what we do? I don't think we generally require chumras buying meat for Pesach. I don't think meat we generally assume is just meat. I don't think we require.
But they put tags on it, I think.
So I wonder, I don't know if those tags are just to make people feel better about Pesach, or there actually is Hagalah taking place. I don't know, I just thought about that point as we were going to shit.
Well, maybe everything else was Pesach and they didn't...
Well, we generally tell people...
The meat was kosher in a store that was already the name of Chametz around. I don't know.
Right, so it could be maybe just stores in general today don't have... chicken is salted in the factory. Meat is not necessarily in the shech. The shech that I went to this past summer did not have a salting facility. It goes someplace else, and then they salt it, etc.
Salting a giant or Eggman?
So I don't. I haven't been to either of those in Shafra and Northeast. They're not salting. They're getting in already processed meat. And one time I was in a chicken slaughterhouse, in the David Elliott Chicken Factory, they have a whole big machine that I think he might have invented himself, that times it and does the whole salting process on its own. So it could be that in those environments, we don't really have to be concerned with chametz falling out of the sky and landing in the salting machine.
Yeah, that's the question. Who's putting the tags on?
All right. It could just be, Rosh Chodesh Adar, we start putting tags on. I don't know.
Okay.
So, Machavas Shemitagnin. So now we're up to pans. Pans is an interesting issue when it comes to Pesach. Plus, there's two issues, there's two questions when it comes to pans. Number one is we've dealt with the idea of Isuri Bala versus Hetera Bala when it comes to Tzli, things that require Libun, right? So, if something was roasted, you only require Tzli. If it was what we call hetera bala, not if it was you only require libun if it's isura bala, not if it was hetera bala. That's by general things. But if it is isura bala, if it actually absorbed, treif, if it absorbed So if you have a barbecue grill and you put some something melchik on it, so if it hadn't been used 24 hours before and you wait another 24 hours, I'm pretty sure you could do Haggadah on that. But if you put a piece of ham on it, so then that's going to require libun, right? So that's issue number one. So what do we assume for Pesach, right? Is Pesach considered a Terah Bala, or is it considered Isuri Bala when it's in November? So we are the Ramah, Ashkenazim are machmer to assume, yes, that all of the Chumras of Pesach are going to impose itself even in November. Because the concept of Chametz perhaps exists the entire year. There's a concept of Chametz even in the Beis HaMikdash, so the concept exists. So if the concept exists, we're going to treat it as Isuri Bala the entire year.
But I'm not sure you're talking about Pesach in November. I'm not quite following.
No. So if something becomes if a non Pesach item falls on a Pesach thing mm-hmm. in November, mm-hmm. so do we have to be machmir and require libun on that because it's considered an iser that fell on it, uh-huh. or do we say, oh, come on, it's November, it's a piece of bread, mm-hmm. you could eat pieces of bread, there's nothing wrong with it, so then we consider it heter avala. Mm-hmm. So do the chumras impose itself on it in November? That's question A, and the mechaber is mekil, and the ramah is machmir. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is that how do you decide when something requires tzli versus when something requires hagala? Right. So what's the magic? The magic is if there is a liquid medium. Right. If it's liquid, so then it requires hagala, and if it's just something you put on a barbecue grill, so that's going to require libun. So the question, this comes together, the question of frying pans on Pesach. Because frying pans are, is that considered libun, or is that considered a liquid medium, or is it not considered a liquid medium? Mm-hmm. So how do we pass in that? So the Shulchan Aruch is kind of does one of these sveika kind of deals that will be that even though in theory one should be machmir when it comes to isuri bala, right? Well, maybe one could be mekel, and even if really one could be mekel when it comes to the isuri bala or hetera bala, we're going to call it hetera bala. But even if you want to be machmir, we could assume like the lenient opinions that frying is really considered like cooking, and therefore we're going to treat it like hagala anyways and allow it to just simply do hagala on it. Right, so that's the way it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Makavas shemetagnin, when you have a pan that you fry in, perish sheyotskin bash shemen lafoso, that you pour oil on it to cook, right, muteres bahagala. So it becomes mutter, you simply only have to do hagala on it.
After you clean it.
Right. So
frying pans can really ever be clean.
Right. So the truth is the clean. Right. Some may point out that this shaila doesn't really exist because no one's really sitting and cleaning their frying pans, right? But if you would, but just in theory, if you would put bacon into a frying pan, right? So that would require libun because mm-hmm. that would be considered isuri bala, mm-hmm. right? But because it's a teira bala, so therefore we're going to be mekel and allow you to do hagala, right? Of course, you have to clean it. V'im hi arucha, and if it's very long, misim chetzi v'hofich od umasim chetzi ha'acher. So you can put in half, and then you put in the other half. V'im hi arucha b'yoser, and if it's even longer than that, melavna be'emsa. You could do libun on the middle while doing hagala on the ends. Okay. U'leven koldehu, Shekash nisraf alav sagile. All you have to do is what we call libun kal, right? Not the full-fledged burning up, but just a libun kal, where you would like burn a piece of paper or something on the other side. V'yesh machmirin l'lavin ha-machavas, and there are some that are machmir to do libun on the machavas, ach ha-libun kol dehu d'haynu she'yisraf alav kash b'mibachutz sagi, but just doing this small amount would be enough. This is the libun kal. V'noagin l'lavnu l'chadchila miyusagile b'hagala im ein v'gumos. And we are knowing to do libun ideally, but you have the right to be mekel and do hagala. That's what the...
So what's the difference? What are the two kinds of libun? Libun kal and...
Libun kal, libun chamer. Libun chamer is when you turn it red hot. So that's when... And libun kal is when you make it hot enough so that if you would put a piece of paper on the other side or on the other side, it would start burning. All right, so that's much less. When do you know when to use which? So when the Rama is being machmir on hagala, when he's saying, really, hagala would be fine, but we want to be machmir, so he'll allow you to do libun kal. Libun chamer is only when it's really 100% considered required. So the The Mishnah Brura says...
So if you've got some chazer on your plate, on your frying pan,
right,
that's Liban Chomer.
You would require Liban, yeah. Right, so the Mishnah...
I presume without a liquid medium.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought there was... At one point, there was an issue about a liquid medium versus a...
Right, so is the oil considered a liquid medium? That's the question. Mm-hmm. So we'll be makel when it comes to Pesach, because you have the Yeter Bala Yisuri Bala issue. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be machmer the rest of the year if it's real treif. Mm-hmm. Right. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and adds in. Right, it's only in an oven where you bake it without any liquid at all. So that requires liban. He says, but not a frying pan. And nor do we have to be concerned lest a small part of the frying pan became dry and the chametz is actually cooked there. Because even if it burnt and got stuck to the wall of the machavas, there's still some liquid there. So the same thing happens with a pot, right? When you make meatballs that have flour in it, right? So some of them are going to stick to the side of the wall, and maybe you should require a liban there also. He says no, because it's essentially being cooked, so you have the right to be makel even if it does get stuck to the wall, because there is liquid present. Skip Samach Dal and Samach Hey is interesting, where he says Hatam Kniskel El, right, Muteras Bahagala. So the reason is, as we said, Sherei Ofen Bo Im Mashke, you've cooked it with some liquid. Mali Shemen Omai, what's the difference whether it's oil or whether it's water? Aval Haganos She Ofen Bo Ugos Be'in. But when you have pans in which you bake cookies, right, so you have cookie pans, even if you put a little bit of oil or fat or chama underneath it,
butter,
right? Some kind of butter underneath. Srichen liban medina. That's going to require liban. V'chein ha. I don't know what this is. Skvardim, some kind of Yiddish thing. Skverdim? I don't know. Maybe that's like, maybe it means molds or something. Yeah, I don't know. Shepamim mechamin behen sovin l'chola. That sometimes, well, it's not molds, plus you cook in it bran for the sick. Some kind of frying pan that you use for bran, so you can leave them. That's going to require leave. So many, based on this Mishnah Berurah, or even without this Mishnah Berurah, point out that nowadays, if our frying pans are made out of Teflon, so the Teflon, the whole point of Teflon is to use less oil. So maybe the Teflon knocks it out of the rule of our frying pans, out of the rules of the Machavas, and knocks it into the rules of cookie sheets, in which case one would require Liban in that case. Right? At the end of the day, you don't get too many of these questions because no one's really sitting in with a toothpick and cleaning out their frying pans that get really dirty. But it is a good way of learning the halachos of Isser Bala versus Heter Bala and what's the status of Tigun and things like that. Okay. So Yud Beis is also an important... Kol HaKelim Tzorech L'Hagil Yadu Sehem K'mosan. So we've touched on this before, the idea of Cham Miksasu Cham Kulo, right? That if something goes in one way, in metal, so then it will extend throughout the entire pot, even if that part didn't get into the fire. So all vessels Tzorech L'Hagil Yadu Sehem K'mosan, you have to do Hagala on the handle as well. Says the Rama, Mihuim lo hagilu hayados. If you don't do a gala for the handles, ain less or b'di'evid. B'di'evid will say it's okay. But feel the chakila.
What are we saying? Where are you now?
In the Rama, as we go on to the next top of the next page.
Okay.
Right, imlo hagilu hayados. If you don't do a gala for the handles, b'di'evid will say it's okay. Even ideally, yachol hagilan ayde irui shemara aleihem. Really, only have to do irui on the handles. So that's very helpful. All right, what's going on here? So the Mishnah Berurah explains this idea that the blios travel throughout the entire pot. right? The kolakim mishum shen min in back to Samach Ches, the previous page. Mishum shechem mishnamish chametz beguf hakli. When the chametz is used in the kli itself, the chamin amrinan the whole chabliya b'kula. So when the kli is used with hot, so we say that the bliyos travel throughout the entire pot. So if it was only for this halacha, right, says the Mishnah Berurah, this should only be a problem by metal kelim. Right? If it's another vessel, we don't say that it travels throughout the entire thing. But yet the Mechaber doesn't distinguish, he just says all kelim are going to require this. Mashma, da'af kli cheres v'kli yetz. That if it even if it's other type of kelim, so to the Mordechai writes that explicitly. The eitz parur tzarek lahagil habeis yad shelo, that wood kelim you have to do the handles as well. Val korchach the chayshinan od, there must be another reason why we're requiring it besides just cham miksasu cham kula. And what is that? Shemakibel hayad eizah pam chames hayde kli rishon kasheidichu oso b'tzocho limkos. That we're concerned that A, maybe you were cleaning it, things got spread around, or things got splattered out of the kli itself and landed on the handle. So we're not just concerned about the cham iksasu cham kul, but we're even concerned about chametz landing on it from alternative sources. Not alternative from something that was in the pot, but the chametz is going to land directly on it, as opposed to just traveling throughout the kli.
So can you just do iwur?
Right. So that's why. So the Ramah himself said that. That in theory, that all you really need to do is do iwur on that on those sections.
So you can really cook on it.
Right. Right. Right, so he says ein lasor. So even the Mishnah Berurah then says, so even kli matechos, even metal kelim, we won't aser if all you do is the pot itself. Mishum darin dechashem shenivla hachametz behayad aydei gufakli kein ata niflek bimenu aydei hagala shel gufakli. Right, so there's an additional kula when we talk about chametz asul cham kulo is one could say, well, easy come, easy go. Right, if we're going to say that that by using the kli, by putting a pot on a fire, the blios are going to go all the way to the handle. Well, guess what? If we do hagala to the pot itself, so the blios should come out via the pot. So there's a svara to say that we don't just necessarily paskin like that lechatchila, but one could rely on that bidyeved to allow that kli. And the other concerns we were concerned about, we don't have to say that they exist. Therefore, he says, therefore, what about if I turn around and I use the handle as a stirrer? Would that complicate things? So he says, no, he doesn't think so. If you're using the Pesach, even only, if you're only using the handle, that you stir with it on Pesach, one can rely on the Cham Miksasu Cham Kulo to say that you got the Vlios out of there just by doing Hagala on the Kli itself, and things might have sprinkled on it. Well, okay, things might have sprinkled on it, but we don't have to say B'dieved that the Kli is therefore no good.
So now you don't have to do the handles.
No. B'dieved, we won't aser if he didn't do the handles.
Okay.
Mishnah Berurah goes on to say that if you know at some point during the year you use the handles and chametz as a stir, so then they would require a hagal. But if you don't have any recollection of that, so then it would be okay. Okay. So, do one more. Although I've never seen this come up in practice, the cliche yeshbo tlei. Remember when it was in smicha, we were like, this is like a big issue. But I don't think we really do this anymore. Tlei are patches. You used to patch up kalim. So, yeah. So, im kadam hatlei leblia sa'isr. So, if the patch was there already before the iser came in, ein sarach lahasiro. You don't have to remove the patch because However it went into the patch also, and the way you'll do Hagala on it, we'll get it out of the patch. However, v'im kadma b'liyas ha'isr l'tli, but if the b'liyas of the isr came before the patch, then you got a problem. So mahasir ha'tli, so then you would actually have to remove the patch. Kodam Hagala, o yasim gechalim ha'makom ha'tli, or put coals on the makom l'tli. Why are you doing that? So that's a form of libun. Achi yisr of gufa isr, until you can burn it out. In Yeshava, if it's there. The Achar Kach Magil Kol HaKli, then you do Hagal on the whole Kli. The Imhu Shel Eitz, and if it is a wooden Kli, Ein Lo Takana, Elohim Kein Yarchiv Hasadak. So then you don't have a way of getting out of it unless you. Unless you're able to remove the sticking agent enough so that you're able to remove whatever is inside. So comes the Roman. It says Roshim Shaosim Haomnim Besocha Kli Mutul Hagila. And if the workers put some kind of a roshim there, not sure what he's referring to. If he's referring to their insignia, or if he's referring to like something they did when they fixed it. Meyakushinasu Mechadash V'Inkrim Hetiv. That. Because that's like making it new, and you'll clean it well, and that should be sufficient to clean those to do Hagala on those pots. Okay. That I guess gets us to the good point.